So we're going to begin the Masechta Horius. The Masechta Horius, I mentioned on the WhatsApp before, it talks about basically you have case. Okay, so you have like this. You have the regular case where a person does an Aveira, which if it was b'mezid would be Chayav Karis, therefore b'shogeg they bring a Chatas for most such cases. We learned in Shavuos also you have a second type of Chatas. You have certain Aveiras for which instead of a standard Chatas, which is always an animal, always a female sheep or goat, you have the type called a korban or the yored, where a person is able to afford if they bring a sheep, and if they can't, then they bring birds, and if not, they can't even afford that, and they bring a mincha. Aside from all that, the Pasuk tells us, and the Torah tells us in Parashas Vayikra, you have three other cases of special chatos. You have a case where the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake in halacha, which we'll deal with in the second paragraph of our Masechta, the details of that. You have a case where the Sanhedrin, and he makes a mistake in halacha and follows it. You have a case where the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha, and the people end up following it, which is going to be the subject of our Mishnah and of our first parak. And then you have the case in both those cases they bring a bull as a korban chatas instead of a sheep or a
mistake.
If the Kohen Gadol made a mistake in halacha and followed his own ruling in that. So for example, he himself thought that he being, we'll learn in the second parak, he being somebody who distinguished Talmud Chacham, was capable of passing in halacha, and he mistakenly passed him, let's say, that a certain type of chaylev is allowed, or a certain type of malacha is allowed on Shabbos, or what have you, and he does that, and later on he realizes his mistake. Then he brings a bull as a chatas, and that bull is a chatas apnimis. Instead of a regular chatas, the blood is daubed on the with the Kohen's finger on the horns of the outer mizbeach. Here the blood is brought inside the heichal and sprinkled over there in front of the parochas and on the mizbeach hazahav. So it's a higher level korban, basically. I saw where Rav Shamshon Nepal Hirsch has an explanation along the lines of the Kohen Gadol and the Sanhedrin, because they represent the whole Jewish people. They're supposed to be holding themselves to a higher standard, and therefore, when they make a mistake, it's much more serious. And therefore, we bring in the blood of their korban into the heichal to represent that idea that we're beyond the normal way of doing things. But they didn't live up to it, and therefore, we bring the blood of their korban in. But then afterwards, the korban itself, the body of the korban, instead of being brought on after the fat is brought on the mizbeach, the rest of it is taken out. The fat of it is not brought on the mizbeach. The whole thing is taken and burnt outside the machnas. Outside Yerushalayim. So again, I mean, it's called chatoris apnimius. Any time you have the blood of a chatos is brought into the heichal, then such a chatos is not burnt on the mizbeach; it's burnt outside the machne. So that's the case of the Kohen Gadol. The Sanhedrin is similar, as we'll learn about in our parak. And then you have the king makes him, and then you have if the king does something which makes him chayav chatos. Not with him, it doesn't have to be that he passed in halacha. With him, it just has to be that he made a mistake. Then he brings a chatas similar to everybody else's, the kind where the blood is only done on the outside mizbeach, but his is a male goat instead of a commoner, is a female sheep or a female goat. So those are the top
three things. Basically.
So those are the three cases: the Kohen Gadol, the Sanhedrin, and the king. Right. So that's going to be the subject of our Masechta. So it's called Masechta Horius because Horius, Meloshon Hora, because of the case of the Kohen Gadol or the Sanhedrin involved with the Paskin that they decided halacha for themselves or for the people wrongly.
What's the difference between Horius and Horius?
It's just different ways of pronouncing it. Properly speaking, the Masechta is called Horius, which is the plural of Hora. People call it Horius. People pronounce it carelessly and they say Horius.
But it's really
Horius. But it's really Horius properly. Okay. The reason why this Masechta is doing in Seder Nezikin, it's the last Masechta of Seder, the last or the next to last Masechta of Seder Nezikin, is that Rambam explains because it's a continuation. We learned the Sanhedrin about the procedures of the Sanhedrin, how they judge, how they decide the halacha, etc. Inevitably, they being human beings, they're going to make a mistake. That's what we're talking about. If they make a mistake, then what are the consequences? What do we do about it? The Be'er Sheva points out an interesting thing. He says in the Pesukim, you have the order is Kohen Gadol, Sanhedrin, King. So why in our Masechta is the one with the Sanhedrin
first? But it comes before the King?
But it comes before, yes. Because the first comes the case where the Kohen Gadol made a mistake. Then comes the case where the Sanhedrin made a mistake. Then comes the case where the King made a mistake. But in our Masechta, they're in the order first Sanhedrin, then the Kohen Gadol. So why is that? The Be'er Sheva gives a couple of answers. One of them, a Balabatish answer, is again based on this idea. It belongs in Seder Nezikin because it's a continuation of Masechta Sanhedrin. Talk about it, the Sanhedrin made a mistake. Therefore, it makes sense to put that first. Okay. So the Mishnah starts off. So we're basically what we're going to be dealing with is the criteria. What is the situation under which it's going to be that the Sanhedrin, or the people, we'll learn later on, is going to bring this parhelem davar shel tzibur, this bull that's brought on behalf of the Jewish people collectively, rather than each individual person bringing their own chatas. Because if you have, for example, let's say, so again, you have an individual person, let's say, eats something which eats chaylev or breaks Shabbos or what have you, they bring their own b'shogeg and they bring a chatas. Here we're dealing with a case where the Sanhedrin made a mistake and we're saying that they bring the parhelem davar shel tzibur. So we need to determine what exactly are the criteria, what exactly are the conditions under which that happens, that they're going to bring the collective one versus everybody bringing their own individual one. So the Mishnah starts off. Hodu based in achas mikol mitzvah samuras batorah, if based in gave an instruction that people can be over on any one of the mitzvahs that are said in the Torah. So not strictly speaking, it's not any of the mitzvahs, it's only the ones that involve kares. But it's also not the whole mitzvah. We're going to learn later on. If the Sanhedrin decides, for example, there's no issue of chaylev, then it wouldn't apply. Then we would say that's not even considered a hurrah. Because the whole mitzvah. That wouldn't even be considered a hurrah. That wouldn't even be considered, that would be just a silly mistake, basically. A hurrah implies that they made a mistake in trying to figure out what the halacha is. So, for example, in the case of chaylev, let's say they decided that certain kinds of chaylev indeed are osir, but certain kinds are mutter, certain kinds which as actual halacha are also, they mistakenly thought are mutter. Same thing with Shabbos, for example. Let's say they didn't decide that you're allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, period. They decided, let's say, you're allowed to do a certain malacha on Shabbos, let's say, whatever. And same thing with all the other ones. So they passed it like that. But halacha yachid v'asa shogeg al pihem, and an individual person went and acted b'shogeg based on what they said. So he ate the chaylev or broke Shabbos in this way or what have you. Bein sh'asu v'asa imahen, whether the Sanhedrin did what they themselves paskin, so they paskin that this type of chaylev is mutter and they themselves ate it, and v'asa achareihen, and v'asa imahen, and he did it along with them at the same time, they all sat together at a table.
They're responsible.
Right. Or bein sh'asu v'asa achareihen, or whether they did it first and later on he did it. And again, we're talking about eventually they realize their mistake. That's the one they're going to bring in carbon. But so they passed in this. They ate it right there on the spot. He heard about it, and the next day he did the same thing. Bein shaloi asuv also, or a third possibility is the Beis Din themselves did not actually follow their ruling in practice, but this person did. So they passed in a certain kind of chaylev as mutter, for example. They didn't actually go and eat that type of chaylev, but this individual heard about their hurrah and went ahead and ate it. In all those cases, Potter, in all those cases, he's Potter from his individual carbon. He himself is not going to bring his individual chatas, Mipnesha Tolaba based in, because he made what he did depend on based in. He didn't do it. In other words, it wasn't his own mistake, it was based in mistake. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara that's not accepted by everybody. The accepted halacha is not actually like what it says in our Mishnah, but rather the halacha is that you need the majority of the people followed this mistaken ruling of the Beis Din. When we say over here in the Mishnah that v'holach ha-yachid, if it was only a yachid or only a few yachidim or whatever who followed it, they would in fact bring their own individual carbon even though it was based in
so
mistake. It has to be that roiv of the Jewish people followed this mistaken hara. Okay, they're done there anyway, it's fine. Okay. On the other hand, Horu Beis Din, what if Beis Din gave a hurrah, psak, the yoda echad man shatov, one member of the Beis Din knew that they were mistaken. He realized, even though they said so the majority rules, so now it's officially passed, but somebody, a member of the minority, realized that this is a mistake, the chaylev is in fact also. Oy Talmud Behuroy Lahira, or it wasn't a member of the Beis Din, but it was one of the Talmudim, who is on the level that he himself, he's still a Talmud, but he's on a level already where he's capable of giving hurrah himself. We'll see on Amud Beis what that means. But he went and followed what they said anyway. So even though he knew that they were wrong and this is really chaylev or it is really breaking Shabbos or whatever.
He had an obligation to do that?
Ah. So you have, on the face of it, so we're going to discuss on Amud Beis a little bit in connection with the Gemara over there, but on the face of it, we have a famous expression that says that even Rashi brings it on the Pasuk in Parashat Shoftim, that even if the Beis Din tells you that the right is the left or the left is the right, you have to listen to them. So what is it? Yeah, so what does that mean over here? So what does that mean over here? So you have a few different explanations. And Ramban understands that it means that if as long as they're still deliberating about it, if you know that they're mistaken, then you have to correct them. But once they already voted, then that's it. You have to follow them. Then you have to follow them. Right. Well, so that's one way of looking at it. You have other explanations, including there's an explanation that a number of Achronim give, which is fine. Based in Paskin, that this type of chalav is mutter. They didn't say you have to eat it. But fine. You accept that it's mutter. You're not going to go You're not going to go contradict them publicly. You're not going to be a zaken mamre. You're not going to go rule publicly otherwise that they're wrong. This really is chalav. However, nobody's obligating you to eat it. So therefore, if he ate it, then that's still a problem. Anyway.
That's in the case where
he knew...
When the Sanhedrin obligates you to do something.
If they obligated to do something, that's different. If they had paskin that not only this is not Chilul Shabbos, but you have to do it, that's different. But if they just paskin, you're allowed to write on Shabbos, let's say, fine, you're allowed to. You don't have to write on Shabbos. Or you don't have to eat the chaylev or what have you. Yeah. So he knows that they were mistaken, whether he was a member of the Beis Din or whether he was one of the Talmidim who is on a level of doing Hurrah himself. Now, if he's not on a level of giving Hurrah himself, then what he knows doesn't count for anything.
It has to be on the level
that he himself is capable of giving Hurrah, as we'll see on Amud Beis.
In other words, he should be part of the Sanhedrin.
Not necessarily he's yet part of the Sanhedrin. He's still one of the Talmidim. So we'll see on Amud Beis what that means exactly. He's still one of the Talmidim in practice because he hasn't yet received smicha, he hasn't been appointed to Sanhedrin yet, whatever, but he's already knowledgeable enough to be giving Hurrah. So then, v'holach v'alsafi, and such a person then went and followed what the Sanhedrin said, then v'ein sha'osu v'alsa iman, then whether the Sanhedrin did it and he did it along with them, like at the same time, v'ein sha'osu v'alsa achare, and whether they did it and later on he did it, v'ein sha'loi osu v'alsa, or they didn't do it at all, but he did it. In all those cases, harei z'chayev. In all those cases, he will be chayev for his own individual korban rather than being yotze with the korban of the public. V'ein sha'loi tola v'beis din, because he did not make what he did dependent on beis din. He did it independently of them. Because he knew that it's osur, he knew that they're making a mistake, and yet he went and did it anyway, as we'll see in the Gemara. So if he knew it's osur, why did he do it? But therefore, when he realizes it's a mistake, he has to bring his own korban, right? That, while the general rule is as follows, HaTorah ba'asmei chayev, if he makes it depend on his own knowledge, then he's chayev for his own korban. HaTorah ba'beis din patur, if he makes it depend on beis din, if he's just following what beis din says, he doesn't know, he has no way of knowing whether they're right or wrong, and he went and followed them, then he's potter from his own individual korban, then you have the korban is brought on behalf of the city. Again, our Mishnah is taking the view that this applies even if once the Beis Din Paskin, even if it's a minority of the people followed it, we'll see in the Gemara that's only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say it has to be a majority of the people. If a minority of the people followed it, they still will have to bring their own individual korban. So this Mishnah, we're going
to
say, is going only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right?
Because it's a minority.
So, what it is actually, I mean, our Mishnah can be understood either way. The expression is v'holach ha-yachid, that the yachid went. So does that mean the yachid who ends up being, once we start counting up, we find that he's a member of the majority who all did the same thing? Or do we mean a yachid even if there's no majority? The Chachamim say you require a majority. If you have 600,000 Jews, it has to be that at least 300,001 Jews follow this Hurrah based in for there to be brought the parhelim davar shel tzibur. Otherwise, if it was 300,000 or less, everyone is bringing their own individual carbon.
It has to be a roi.
Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it has once based in Paskin it, then that's enough even if it was a minority.
Even one, yeah.
Right. So the Gemara starts out. Omar Shmuel, this that was saying that based in Paskins, now what does it mean when based in Paskins? Sometimes you can have a based in or a rav or whatever gives is teaching something and there comes out from it a halacha, not necessarily he's saying explicitly, go do this.
Can you close the door?
Bacher, close the door, please. Thank you. Not necessarily every time that you hear something in a shiur or whatever, does it mean this is the actual practical halacha to follow. We have many times in the Gemara that something is halacha ve'en murdin kein, it's halacha but not halacha l'maise, in principle it should be like this. So, Omar Shmuel, lo'olam ein beis din chayovin. So Shmuel says, beis din is never going to be chayev. for the korban, ad sheyomer lahen mutarim atem, unless they explicitly tell the people, you are mutter to do this.
This is what we talked about.
Right. Well, in other words, no, but in other words, the point is, it's not good enough for them to say, it's not good enough for them to say, this is, the, to say that, you know, we're discussing this. We seem to have come to the conclusion that this is mutter. They actually have to be telling the people, you are mutter. This is mutter for you. Rav Dimi min Hadar, Amar Rav Dimi min Hadar says, even that's not enough. Ad sheyomer lahem mutar matam lasos. You have to say, you are mutter to do this. In other words, implying that they actually have to say that this is something that you can go ahead and do. Not just, as mutter theoretically or...
Implying what?
Implying, in other words, that, for example, if they had just said, the Tosfos HaRosh on the side over here gives an example. If, let's say, they're teaching in the Beis Medrash, and they're saying, well, based on everything that we just concluded, it turns out that this kind of chaylev should be mutter, but they didn't actually say in so many words it is mutter, that wouldn't be considered a hirah. Even if the people sitting there heard that and went out and posted it on all the websites and everything and said... Then said, look, based in just decided that this is allowed,
no.
That doesn't work. They're not bringing the power hell on Davos al Tibur because based in did not say in so many words, you are mutter. Or, according to the Dimi, you are mutter to do this.
So Shmuel is saying they have to say it's mutter?
They have to say it's mutter. They have to explicitly say it's mutter. And Dimi is saying you have to say it's mutter to do. Right.
What else can it be mutter for?
It can be so that's the thing. So the Tosfos HaRosh brings from the Rama who says that what's the difference really? Either way, doesn't it amount to the same thing, right? So he says, let's say for example, if the people come and ask, are we allowed to eat this? And they say mutorim atem. There's no question that would be the same thing as saying mutorim atem lechol. What it means is mutorim atem lachol. What it means is, let's say, for example, people come to the Beis Din and say, we're Rabbanim ourselves in our hometown. If people come to us and ask us a question about this type of chaylev, what should we tell them? And the Beis Din answers mutorim atem. But they don't say mutorim atem lach. So that's the difference. In other words, the people are coming and saying, we want to eat this chaylev, are we allowed to? They're saying, when we come to Paskin for our home communities or whatever, what should we be telling them? So the Beis Din said, Mutarim Atem, according to the Dimi, that's not enough, because they didn't say Mutarim Atem Lachas. They would actually, at the Beis Din, would have to be telling them, this is something, you're actually mutter to do this. You're allowed to eat this chaylev.
That's
a fine difference, but it's still a difference between whether you're asking something right there on the spot versus whether you're asking what should I pass in for other people. The Rosh himself, in fact, argues with that. The Rosh himself says, if a Rav is coming to ask Beis Din what to do, of course Beis Din has to be very precise to tell him the right thing, that he shouldn't mislead his community or whatever. So he says, so the Rosh says that basically what it means is you can have that they say mutorim atem. They're saying in principle it's mutter to do, but we're not necessarily saying go ahead and do it. We're just saying in principle, based on our analysis, it seems it would be mutter. And Shmuel would be saying that would be enough. And then Rav Dimi min Hadar is saying no, you have to actually say it's mutter to do. And we're actually deciding that you're allowed to go ahead and do it. Not just mipi halacha, not just mipi Talmud or whatever. We're saying actually go ahead and do it. So that's yeah. Okay, my time, an official enigma or hara. Now, why would that be? Because without the word lasis, the hara is not complete to make them chayv the carbon. So therefore, if the people now went ahead and did it without the lasis, says Rav Dimi, then that's not enough. They still are going to bring their own individual carbonus rather than power being brought on behalf of the community. Rashi mentions over here, by the way, when we say the word based in chayovin, now we're going to learn later on. We're going to learn later on on Daf Dalet. We're going to talk about the question: who is it that's actually bringing this carbon? Is it the tzibur or is it the Beis Din themselves? Like who has to pay for it or whatever? So
that's
we have to figure out. But when we use the expression of here Beis Din Chayavin, we're not really coming down on one side or the other of that. We just mean Beis Din Chayavin. In other words, the national carbon is going to be brought as opposed to individual carbonus being brought. Amar Abaye, Afananami Tanena. Abaye says, yes, as a matter of fact, you can see that this must be correct because we learned that there's a difference between saying Mutorin Atem versus Mutorin Atem Lafos, that there's a difference between a Psak that mentions, there's a difference between a Psak Din that mentions that a theoretical versus a practical Psak Din.
What difference could it be?
The difference is,
I say mutarim as opposed to mutarim.
That's the point. Mutarim asem. Again, according to the Ramah, mutarim asem means you can paskin for your communities. That's mutar. But mutarim asem latis would mean you're actually allowed to do it. That you're coming and asking. But again, so the Rosh is saying differently. The Rosh is saying there's a difference between mutar theoretically and mutar in practice.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
what's
so the difference is sometimes you can have something and theoretically it should be, you have all the time, you have halachas all the time. In theory, you have halachas where, you know, if you're with Pesach now, you know, we have many halachas in connection with Chometz on Pesach, for example. Theoretically, something should be mutter. But in practice,
what do you mean, theory?
In principle, based on the,
you
based
this
on,
is mutter, it's mutter.
No, not necessarily. You can have sometimes where in principle something should be mutter. However, everybody is noyig isser in it. You have many such examples. So Abaya says, we have a Mishnah in Sanhedrin in connection with the Zokin Mamre that expresses the same idea. We say about the Zokin Mamre, we had over there where he goes and disobeys Beis Din. So what happened? Beis Din passed in the halacha a certain way after there was a question, what it is, and they went from Beis Din to Beis Din, and eventually they came to the Sanhedrin Gdola. Incidentally, by the way, when we say we heard of Beis Din in the Mishnah, it doesn't just mean any old Beis Din, it means the Sanhedrin Gdola. It means the national Sanhedrin of 71. The Beis Din, that's Tosfos at the bottom here, points out, yeah. The reason why, by the way, Tosfos is at the bottom of the Almud over here is because in this... No. So Tosfos, by the way, is much shorter than usual, and it's at the bottom of the Almud because it didn't exist in earlier printings of the Gemara. So eventually when they discovered it, and some people think it may not even be from the Baal Yat Tosfos, it may be from some later person, whatever it is anyway, so therefore they just stuck it in the bottom over here. Anyway. So in the case of the Zokin Mamre, again, it went from Beis Din to Beis Din until it came to the Sanhedrin Gdola, and they either said we have a Kabbalah on it, or they voted on it, whatever it was. Now what happens, Chozer Le'iroi, we said in the Mishnah at Sanhedrin there, that if this Talmud Chacham now goes back to his city, Shon of a Limit Kederach Shalimit, and he continues learning and teaching the way he did before, meaning not following what the Beis Din said now, Potter, he's not a Zokin Mamre, he's Potter, because he's only teaching. On the other hand, Hodolasa is Chayev, but if he passes them to them that they can do it, then he becomes Chayev as a Zokin Mamre. So we see that there's a difference between giving, a Hora versus a Hora Halacha L'Maisa. That is why we have the expression Halacha L'Maisa, because sometimes you have, again, sometimes something in principle, the Halacha should be a certain way, but in practice, we don't do that. So therefore, over here also, with the Zokin Mamre. So Abaya says, by the same logic, you can see the same distinction can apply to our mission as well.
One second. In practice, we don't do it not because it's not mutar, but because we have some opposing opinion.
Well, that opposing opinion says it's also. But it can also be, for example, that in principle it would be mutar, however, we have a gzeira not to do it. It could be in principle it's mutar, but we have it, whatever. There can be many
here,
different...
Here, it's because it's a different story, it's a different case, because it could still be usher.
Over here, in the case of the Sanhedrin deciding something for the people, or in the case of the Zokin Mamre, you can have, sometimes you have, and you have an expression, the Rosh brings an expression from Bava Basra, that sometimes you have, halacha mepit Talmud, you have again a Rav or Rosh Hashiva or Magad Shir or whatever is giving a Shir, and in the course of the discussion there comes out a certain point in halacha, but that's not the same thing as actually paskening that is the halacha in practice. That can just be, based on what we're saying, it seems that would be the halacha. But so the same thing with the Zokin Mamre. He held that the halacha is a certain way, for example. He continues, when he goes back home, he continues learning and teaching that way. Fine, that's okay. As long as he doesn't actually say, you are allowed to do this. If he does, then he becomes a Zokin Mamre. So we see that there's that distinction. Rav Abba says, here we have another, I'll bring you another proof from another Mishnah, that where we see that difference between a theoretical hara and a practical hara. We have a case where a woman's husband is missing, and one aide comes and testifies that he's dead. So hara la Beis Din l'inase, so a Beis Din paskens for her that she can marry. And here we're not talking Beis Din, we don't mean the Sanhedrin Gdola, here it can be any Beis Din.
Right.
But so based in Paskin that she's allowed to get married, but instead of getting married, she went and was Mizana with somebody, and later on her husband turned up. What's the din? Chayeves for korban. She is obligated in a korban chatas, for having been Mizana as an Eshes Ish. Because what was the permission that based in gave her? They gave her permission to get married. They didn't give a proof. So what's the proof? So Rashi says the proof is, that Rashi says the proof is more from the, not so much from the fact of nus versus marriage. The proof is that the expression in the Mishnah over there is, the expression in the Mishnah there is horula based in lehinase. Based in gave her a hira, an instruction, go get married. Rather than hitiruha based in. Hitiruha based in would be that they would say, you're mutter in principle. There's one aid, so in principle you're mutter. However, you might do well to wait until till you find out whether till another aid shows up or whatever. That would be the implication of a hitiruha. As opposed to hurdu lalayinase implies they actually told her, go ahead and get married. So then if she gets married based on that fact, and later on her husband turns up, fine, then she's not high of a carbon because she did it based on the hurdu based in. Only because she was kilkala, only because she was mezana instead, is she chayav a karbon.
Either way, she's not an eshesish at that point, is she?
Well, so that's the thing. She is and she isn't, right? I mean, the Beis Din told her, go ahead and get married.
She's not fit for marriage, basically.
So that's the thing, right? So if she got married again and then her husband shows up, then she's not chayav a karbon because it was an oinus. She followed Beis Din. As opposed to znus, it's not an oinus. She didn't have to do that. So actually, some of the Rishonim say that some of the Rishonim learn differently, that that's the proof over here, is that the Tosfos HaRosh brings over here from the Rama, that the distinction is, we see that we only give her the leeway, we say that she followed Beis Din, only in exactly what they said, not in something similar. So they gave her permission to marry, they didn't give her permission to do znus.
But if he made her right, so she still would not be an Eshesish.
Only one aid came. Only one aid came. When her husband turns up alive, she's obviously still an Eish Tish. Or say, and there are going to be, we learned in Yevamos, there are many, many penalties that the Chachamim impose for these kinds of things. All it means is, when we talk on a Daraisa level, does she have to bring a Korban Chatas for her Shogig? It depends. If she married, no, because the possibilities are as follows. If Beis Din had Hitiruha, if they only told her you're allowed to get married, but they didn't actually tell her go get married, then if she got married, she would be Chayav Chatas. Because we can't say that she was totally based in. Again, there's a difference between a theoretical and a practical hira. If they told her, go ahead and get married, that's a hira. That's a hira lamaisa. So then if she got married, then she wouldn't be chayav a carbon. That's considered an oinus.
Would she be considered an eshesish?
She is considered an eshesish, but it's an oinus.
Wouldn't be chayav skila?
No, she wasn't. Of course not. Either way, she wouldn't be chayav skila. It was either a shogeg or an oinus, as the case may be.
Was the lashon of the first case, which is on chayav a carbon, what is it?
The expression is that they told a hirula based in leinase, that based in instructed her to get married. So that's the difference. There's a difference between a hira, an instruction to do something or not to do something, versus a heter, which is you're allowed to do something or not to do something. So if they'd given her a heter, that's Rashi's point, is if they'd given her a heter, that would be one thing. Because they gave her a hara, so we see that there's a difference between a heter versus a hara, a maita, which is the distinction, which is with the distinction we're making over here. That hara based in means there has to be a maita.
Right, it's a directive.
Right.
Was it dependent on the lashon or the intent? I mean,
no, what are they telling her? Are they telling her you're allowed, or are they telling her go get married?
Well, what did she say? She wants to get remarried. She wants to get married. Whatever they say, she's going to rely on it.
Okay, but there's a difference. There's a difference. If they told her you're mutter, yeah, then it means it implies you're mutter. However, you would do well to be careful and check it out.
It doesn't allow her to have snus.
No, either way, it doesn't allow her to have snus. Right. No. According to Rashi, there's nus is sort of a side thing over here. The point is that even in the case where they gave her hara to get married, nevertheless, if she's mezana, she's chayav because that's not totally based in. But the point is that the implication, Rashi says, is there's a difference between hirula versus hitiruha. If it had said hitiruha, would imply, and then that would be different. Then she'd be chayav a korban even if she got married. So we see that there's a difference between hitiru and hirula. Again, there's a difference that we're saying over here.
What would happen if her husband shows up?
Either way,
they told her to get married.
Fine, okay. So then she was mizana, but she was mizana ba'onus. It's an onus. If her husband is Yisrael, no problem. If her husband is a kohen, then you have a problem. So Ravina says, you actually have. Never mind going to other Mishnahs. You can see from our Mishnah itself. Our Mishnah started by saying, if Beis Din gave a ruling to be over on one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, meaning that the ruling was not just theoretical but practical, that we're telling you, go be over, well, they didn't say it in those words, but go do something, which it turns out in the end is being over on one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, v'tulei midi, and that's it. There's nothing beyond that. Obviously, that's what it is. It has to be that there's a hara l'maisa in order for them to be chayiv in the carbon, in order for the tzibur to be chayiv in the carbon rather than the yichid. Okay. That's all version number one. Ikadamri, another...
If they give Harat or Yachid...
No. If they gave, again, our Mishnah said Holacha Yachid V'Af Dalpiyim, but what we mean is, they gave a Harat to the Rabbi. Well, it doesn't really matter. They gave a Harat, it doesn't really matter whether they gave the Harat to a Yachid or the Rabbi. If they gave a Harat, L'maisa, again, according to Shmuel, it just has to be that they said Mutorin Atem, and according to Rav Dimi, that they said Mutorin Atem Latzos. It doesn't matter how many people it was addressed to. Once they said that, and people start going and following it, then eventually, once you according to the Yehuda right away, and according to the Chachamim, once you have a majority, then they'll be chayiv in the Kovah in the Par Helam Davar Shal Sibur.
Except that they gave their Arat to her specifically, not to other people.
That particular case involving the woman is obviously a one-time thing because it involves that an aide comes and says her husband is dead.
If the
Hadra is applicable, like if they say a certain type of chaylev is mutter, for example, then it applies across the board. Ikadamri, another version of this whole discussion, reverses the two opinions. According to the second version, Amash Shmuel ain't based in Chayav and Abshayim Lehem Atar Matam Lasset. According to this version, it's Shmuel who says that in order for Beis Din to be Chayav in the public carbon, it has to be that they said Mutar Matam Lasset. And Rav Dimi, now draw a filum mutarim atem nigma hadar. Note, even if they just said mutarim atem without the word lasos, that would be enough to constitute a complete hadar, says Rav Dimi. So this is the he's being machmir, but also he's the opinions are being reversed from the first way around. Okay, Amar Abaya asked him b'holat nan hachi. But now, so now the same three Mishnayos, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the one in Yuvamis, and our Mishnah that we used before as proofs for Rav Dimi, now if we have Rav Dimi's opinion reversed, then we're going to use them as questions against him. So Abaya says, but we didn't learn like that in the Mishnah. We learn in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Chazer le'irei v'shana, that if the Zaken returns to a city, he learns, or he teaches, Kederach Shalimid, the way he taught before, Potter, then he's Potter from being a Zaken Mamre. Hora Lasis Chayev, only if he paskin that you can do is he Chayev. So we see that it has to be a paskining that involves, a paskin that involves doing, not just that you say theoretically Mutter. And Omer Rav Abba v'holei tnan hochi, and Rav Abba comes with his Mishnah that he brought before as a proof, and he asks it as a question, that we don't learn like that. We said in the Mishnah in Yevamos, Hodola Beis Din Lehinase, that if Beis Din ruled for a certain woman that she should go get married, v'holcha v'kilkala, and instead she went and was mezana, chayevis the korban, that she's chayev in a korban, shalei yitzidu la'el lehinase, because they only gave her permission to get married, meaning, in other words, again, there's a difference between a hora l'maise versus a heter. It would have to be l'maise. Amr Ravina v'holet tnan hachi, and Ravina says, but we didn't learn like that, because our Mishnah said, Hodo Basin laver akalachas mitzvah, alach become mitzvah tamuris v'torah, that Basin paskin that you can violate one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, so they're saying lachos, tule midi, and there's nothing beyond that, so in other words, we slug up that explanation, it cannot be possible to say that they only said mutarim matim, it must be that they said mutarim matim lachos.
Because if they say mutarim only,
if they say mutarim only, then it contradicts these three Mishnahs. It doesn't fit with the case of the Zaken Mamre. It doesn't fit with the case of the woman with the one aide that her husband's dead, and it doesn't fit with the wording of our Mishnah. So Tosfos asked the question, by the way, why didn't we ask that before on Shmuel in the first version? The reason is because Shmuel said his thing first. In the first version, Shmuel just said Mutarim Asim. Then maybe Rav Dimi Minarja is not coming to argue, but rather to clarify that when Shmuel says Mutarim Asim, he really means Mutarim Asim Lasim. So therefore, it's not necessarily that we can contradict Shmuel, as opposed to, according to the second version, Shmuel explicitly says Mutarim Atem Lasses, and Rav Dimi is clearly contradicting him and saying Mutarim Atem is enough. That's when we can start asking on him that doesn't fit with these Mishnahs.
No,
yeah. Okay. Then we said V'holach HaYachid, we said in the Mishnah that what happened, so Yachid went, V'asa Shogeg Alpihem, and he acted V'Shogeg based on what Beis Din said. So the question is, why the extra wording? The Nisni v'asa apiyim. The Mishnah should just say that the Yochid went and followed them. Shogig lomali. Why does it have to say the word shogig? Obviously, it was shogig. If it was b'mezid, then there's nothing to talk about as far as korbanos. Amar Rava. So Rava says what it means is like this. Shogig la'asuye. The word shogig comes to include a case like this. Hodu based in shechelav mutter. Suppose that based in paskin that a certain type of chelav is mutter. Now, what happened, though? This person, v'nischalav le'chelav v'shuman. What happened is, he mixed up. He had a piece of fat in front of him. He mixed up. He didn't realize whether it was chelav, the type that up until now was assumed to be also and now based in as a shumater, or whether it's shuman, kosher fat. For achloi, and he went and ate it. then he's potter, then he's still potter from his own individual carbon, because that the word shogig comes to include that case. In other words, his shogig is of a different is a different type of shogig. His shogig is a different type of shogig.
Not both.
There's only one piece of it here, but the point is, the regular kind of shogig that we would be talking about is, in connection with this parahelam davashal tzibur, is, again, based in paskin that a certain type of chaylev is mutter, and this person went and ate that type of chaylev, knowing that it is chaylev, but thinking that, okay, based in said it's allowed, so therefore it's allowed. As opposed to Rava is bringing up a new case. What if it's not? He didn't eat it because he knew that it was the type of chaylev that based in is just paskin on. He thought that it was shuman. And now it turns out that it was the type of chaylev that based in paskin on. And never, so, but his eating it was not specifically because of their psak, it was because of his own mistake. Nevertheless, Rava says that's included in the word shogig. So you have two cases, and alpia means alpia mamash. So you have two cases where the yachid will be potter from his own individual carbon.
So
one is where he actually followed based, and he knew that this is chaylev, but based instead is mutter, so he figured it's mutter, and he ate it, and he followed it. Or the other case is, he ate it not because Basin said it's mutter, but because he thought that it was shuman. And now
he himself
thought that it was shuman. And now it turns out that it's actually that it was actually chaylev of the type that Basin paskin on. Right.
But he didn't know that.
But he wasn't doing it because they paskin that. He did it because he thought it was shuman. He thought it was kosher.
So in both cases.
In both cases, he will be potter from his own individual carbon. He will be included in the parahelam davashal tzibur.
Even the second case.
Even the second.
He made a mistake.
Doesn't matter. That's Rava's point. Because that's Rava's point. That's included in the word shogig. Because the fact of the matter is, so the reason is, Rashi says, because like this, when the case where we say that a person is chayav a carbon chasas, it's called shov midiyase. It has to be, if he knew what the facts were, would he have not done this? So let's say, for example, a classic case, a person eats a piece of chaylev. If he had known, it was b'shogig. If he knew that it was chaylev, he wouldn't have eaten it. That's called That kind of thing is called shav midiyasei. That kind of thing is, if he had known that this is also, he wouldn't have done it. Instead, he forgot, he didn't realize it was also, whatever, he didn't realize it was Shabbos, he didn't realize this is a malacha, whatever, and therefore he did. As opposed to, in this case over here, so he ate it because he thought it was shuman. But if he knew it was chaylev, would he still have eaten it? Sure, because Beis Din said you can eat it. Therefore, it's not shav midiyasei. Therefore, Rava says it can be included in the parahelam davashal tzibur.
The second case, the first case, when he didn't know, he should have asked.
In both cases, but based in paskin, therefore he figured that's what it is.
He should have asked if it's chaylev or shuman.
No. That's Rava's point. In the case where he thought that it was shuman, if he had known that it was chaylev, he still would have eaten it anyway, because based in as just paskin, that this type of chaylev is mutter.
Right.
Therefore, he would have eaten it either way. So even though he ate it based on his own mistake rather than based on Basin's mistake, nevertheless, it's not short media. The result is the same, and therefore he's potter from his own individual carbon, says Rava. That's the point. That's why we say in the Mishnah, shogig and alpiyam, to cover both those cases.
What's the lesson? Shog?
Shav midiyasa. It has to be that he would go back, he would withdraw from doing this based on his own knowledge.
Ben midiyasa?
Midiyasa, from his knowledge, yeah. By the way, I mean, for those of us who are learning Shlosha Prakim of Rambam, this is Rambam these days, talking about this very idea, talking about these concepts. All right. The Ikadamri, another version of this discussion. No, Amar Rava says no, the other way around. Shegeg Alpiyam would depotter. No, just the opposite. According to the second version, the reason why the Mishnah mentions the word Shegeg Alpiyam is the stress. Only if he's Shegeg because of their psak, only then he's depotter. Avon the Schalat le Chelev b'Shuman. But if it was his own mistake that he mixed up Chelev and Shuman, v'achlai, and he ate it, according to the second opinion, Chaya. He would be Chaya for his own individual carbon because it wasn't based on Basin's mistake. He wasn't Tolas me Basin. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, according to the second version, Milsa de Pshita le Rava come boi le Rama b'Chama. This that Rava is saying as a fact that it is so, we see that Rami b'Chama had a question about that. The boy Rami b'Chama, because we find that Rami b'Chama asked the question, what if exactly this case? Based in decided a certain type of chaylev is mutter, a particular person mixed up a piece of chaylev, he thought that it was shuman, really it was chaylev, and he ate it. Mahu, what would be the din? Is he bringing his own individual carbon, or is he being yoter with the carbon of the tzibur? So Rami Bachama is asking that question, whereas Rava said it as a fact, that yes, he would be, according to the second version, that yes, he would be chaylev. So Amar Rava. So Rava says to Rami Bachama, Tashma, I'll bring a proof. Holach Yachid v'asa shogeg up the impala. We said in our Mishnah that the Yachid went and acted b'shogeg according to them. So again, shogeg up him lomali. So going back to the first version of Rava, why does it have to say the word shogeg and up him? Why the repetition? Wouldn't it come to include this kind of case? We're based in Paskin that Chelev is Mutter, and he thought that this was Truman, really it was Chelev, and he ate it, then he would be Potter, because again, he's not Shov Midiyasa. He wouldn't have withdrawn eating it if he knew that it was Chelev, because based in it, Paskin that the Chelev is Mutter. So from our Mishnah, you should be able to prove the answer to your question, Rami Baham. And the answer is not necessarily, because again, Dilma Shogeg Apiyam u Depater, maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah means Shogeg Apiyam is one phrase, meaning only if he's Shogeg because of them, only then is he Potter. Alman es chalaf le chelev b'shuman, but if it was because he mixed up chelev, because he mistook chelev for shuman, for achloy, and he ate it, maybe then chayev.
So
Shogeg Apiyam. So in other words, there's two ways of understanding Shogeg Apiyam. One is to take it as two separate phrases. One where he's Shogeg, and one way with Alpihem. Shogeg implying it was his own mistake, but it feeds into the mistake of Beis Din. So he ends up eating it. He would have eaten it regardless whether he knew it was Shuman or Chelev, but in this case he thought it was Shuman. Or Alpihem means he knew it was Chelev and he ate it because they said so. So Rami Bachama is asking in the first case, what would be the din? So Rava is answering him, look, you have the words Shogeg and Alpihem. That means two cases. So the answer is not necessarily, because maybe Shogeg Alpihem is one case. I mean, only if he's shogeg because of Alpiyam, because of their statement, not if he's shogeg because of his own mistake. So Avon the chalaf le chelav b'shuman. But if he had mistaken a piece of chelav and thought that it was shuman and he ate it, then chayev. Maybe you could argue our Mishnah might not be implying that he's potter. Maybe he would be chayev. So we don't. So Rami Bachama doesn't have an answer to his question.
Not sure.
Yeah, Ikadamri, or another version. Again, we have two versions of what Rava said. So Ikadamri, another version of this discussion is...
Both versions?
In the first version, Rava had said he'd be potter in both cases. But now he's trying to use that as a proof to Rami Bahama's question. And the answer is, Rami Bahama answers, not necessarily, because you don't have to understand the Mishnah that way. You could understand it to mean that Shogeg Apiyam is one long, continuous thing. Not two cases, but rather one case, strictly where he followed Alpiyam, not where he made his own mistake between Chelev and Shuman. Ikadamri, and you have another version, again, because you have the second version of Rava, who said that he would be Chayiv in that case. So in the second version, Omar Rava Toshma, the Rava says, come, let's bring a proof to answer your question, Rami Bachama. We said in the Mishnah, Holach Yochid v'asa Shogeg Alpiyam. We said the Yochid went and acted b'shogeg based on them. So my lav shogeg apiyam u'depater, wouldn't that mean maybe that only if he's shogeg because of their statement is he potter? But if it's because of his own mistake, if the original thing was his own mistake, that he confused chelev and shuman and he ate it, maybe he would be chayev. He should be chayev, it would seem. The Mishnah is implying that. And the answer is dilma. No, not necessarily, because you could understand it the first way. Dilma o shogeg o apiyam. No, because you could say maybe the Mishnah means Shogeg and Alpiyam are two different cases. One where it was his own mistake, and one where
Shogeg
it was based. Shogeg would be his own mistake, where he thought that it was Truman and really it was Chelev. And Alpiyam would be their mistake, where he knew it was Chelev, but he ate it because of their mistake.
Shogeg, he would.
So according to the first version of Rava, he would be Potter. According to the second version of Rava, he'd be Chayav. Yeah. So we have the two different versions of the discussion.
Alpiyam would never be
Chayav. No, right. Alpiyam would never be Chayav, exactly. So we have two versions, again, so we have two versions of this discussion. In both of them, Rami Bachama is asking what would be the din in this case. In the first version, Rava says that he would be potter, and Rami Bachama answers not necessarily. You could understand the Mishnah could be saying he's chayev. And in the second version, Rava says he's chayev, and Rami Bachama says not necessarily. You could understand the Mishnah to mean he's potter.
Like in the first version?
Yes.
Well, basically, he's saying, Rami Bachama, that in the first version, you could understand like the second, and the second, you could understand
yeah,
like the first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Traversing the table.
Yeah. And in fact, with Plugta, and in fact, this isn't just a machloka, it's not a Plugta of Tanoim, but it's a Plugta of earlier Amoraim. Horu based in Shechel of Moshe.
Plugta, by the way, it's always Amoraim?
Not necessarily, no.
It could be Tanoim.
Horu based in Shechelev Mutter, if based in Paskin, a certain type of Chelev is Mutter, then it's Chalaf like Chelev Beshuman, but he thought that a certain piece of Chelev is really Shuman, and so he ate it. What would be the din? Rav on a potter Rav Yechanan on a chayim. So Rav would say potter Rav Yechanan would say he's chayim.
Rav would say it's
Rav would say he's again because Rav would say that he's not. There's no shov midiyos. So he would not have refrained from eating it if he had known that it was chaylus. Because based on
faith,
right. But in other words, the point is it's not shov midiyos. He wouldn't have done anything different even if he knew that it was chaylus. Whereas Rav Yechanan says the fact is he's not being toila as maybe based in. He's not doing it because based in said it's mutter. He's doing it because he thought it was shuman. He did it because of his own mistake. Yeah. So the Gemara says maybe. The Gemara says
have.
So Rav Yechanan says it's chayda. So the Gemara says maybe. I have a contradiction.
Why he says it's chayev, right?
Again, he says it's chayev because he's not toilah b'beistin, because he's not doing it because of Beistin's mistake.
Uh-huh.
It's true, Rav is saying he would have still done it had he known that it was chaylev, but nevertheless, in this case, he didn't eat it because he thought that it was chaylev and it's mutter because Beistin said it's mutter. He thought it's mutter because it's truman. He made a different mistake than Beistin. Therefore, Rav Yechanan says that's not toilah asma b'beistin. He's not doing what he did depending on what Beistin said.
He should have asked Beisdin, basically. What
was well, you should have asked somebody else. You should have asked, is this Chaylev or Shomer, whatever. You should have found out, is this Chaylev or Shomer.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says, basically, I have a contradiction against Rav Yechanan. A Braita says, when it says in the Pasuk, Me'ama Oretz Basoi, so the Pasuk says if one of the people of the land, meaning a commoner, does an Avera, Basoi, so when it does the Avera, now Me'ama Oretz, the Mem, is an exclusion. It means not all of the Ama Oretz.
Right.
So what does that mean? Praslam Mumer.
Some
of the Ama Oretz. So what does that mean? Praslam Mumer. It means to exclude a Mumer. If you have a person who regularly does a certain Avera, Ama Oretz over here doesn't mean Ama Oretz in the usual sense of using in trap and ignorant person. It just means a commoner. In other words, as opposed to the king. No, as opposed to the king, or as opposed to the Sanhedrin, or whatever. Yeah. But the point is, the Me'ama Oretz implies there's a certain type of person from whom you do not accept a carbon, namely a Mumer. Let's say, for example, you have a person who regularly eats Chaylev,
right.
The Mayim.
Right.
Now one time he ate Chaylev B'Shoyim. Nevertheless, we still don't accept a carbon from him. Because he's a Mumer. Because the rest of the time he does it, he habitually does it B'Mayim. Therefore, we don't accept the carbon from him, even if he did it B'Shoyim. So the Rosh says on that yes, what it means is right. Obviously, if he's still a Rosh, obviously you're not taking a carbon from him anyway. The point is, even if he's doing tshuva now, nevertheless you can't accept the carbon from him for what he did for Shergig while he was still a Mumer. Once he does tshuva, fine. From then on, you can accept the carbon from him, but not of him. Rav Shimon ben Yosi, I'm a Mashim Rav Shimon. Eino tzarich. He says you don't need that. You don't need that limud to say that. You can learn in a different way. Hareu Oimer, the pasuk continues, Asher lo yisa etzana b'shgoga v'oshem. The pasuk continues that he did an aveira that should not have, he did something that should not have been done by mistake, v'oshem, and he's guilty. Oi hoida, it shouldn't have been done because it was an aveira. It was eating chaylev or breaking Shabbos or what have you. He shouldn't have done it. V'oshem, therefore he's guilty. Oi hoida, and the pasuk continues, when he finds out, when he knows that he did an aveira, then he brings the carbon, implying, hashav me di ase, may the carbon hashav me. So only if he would have withheld from doing it based on his knowledge, and he didn't know, he was a shogig, that's the case when he brings a carbon for his shraga, loy shav me di ase, but if he would not have withheld from doing it based on his knowledge, ain't it may be carbon hashav me, and then he doesn't bring a carbon for his shraga. So now the question is, you, Rav Yechanan, are telling me that in this case where he thought it was Truman and ate it, he should be chayev for his own individual carbon. But why? V'imisa, based on this, why should it be halo shav midiyasehu? There's no shav midiyasehu. He would have eaten it anyway because shav midiyasehu means he would have withheld from doing it. Shav, he would have gone back from doing it. Midiyasehu, if he knew the fact. If he knew that this was chaylev, he wouldn't have eaten it. If he knew that this was breaking Shabbos, he wouldn't have done it.
So
Rav Yechanan is saying, in this case, we're based in Paskin that a certain type of chaylev is mutter, and he, though, thought that this particular piece in front of him is shuman, and he ate it based on that, but there's no shav midiyase. If he'd known that it was chaylev, he still would have eaten it anyway, because based in said that it's mutter. So why should he be chayev a carbon?
He would have eaten it.
Yes.
Yes. But he would not.
He would have, yeah. Amar Papa, the sort of Papa answer is like this. Kasav Rav Yechanan, yes, but Rav Yechanan holds like this. Kibin de kinis yadol hu lebe din ahadri bahu. Since eventually, if Beistin were to find out that they made a mistake, then they would retract their opinion. They wouldn't continue to say that this type of chaylev is mutter. They would realize they made a mistake and announce that it's also. Bahu nami hodebe. And at that point, he would also have he would also have retracted. He also wouldn't eat it. If it happened at that point, he wouldn't eat it because he knew he could even know at that point that it's osur. Therefore, shav midiyaseh kodin bevachayim. Therefore, we can call that a type of shav midiyaseh. It's true. Right now, when he ate it, right now, when he ate it, there's no shav midiyaseh because, as far as he knows, even if it was chaylev, it would be mutter. However, eventually, Beis Din is going to find out their mistake, and when they do, he will also realize that's a mistake. If it's chaylev, it's osur. At that point, if he eats it knowing that it's chaylev, then he wouldn't. Right. So therefore, now when he ate it, it's thinking that it's truman. That's shav midiyaseh. If he knew that it was chaylev, but eventually, right, if he finds out that it's chaylev, he won't eat it. Therefore, that can be called shav midiyaseh. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can be mechayev him in a carbon. Okay. Omar Rava. So Rava says, even Rav who says that he's potter from his own individual carbon, moider Rav she'enim mashlim l'roiv tibur. Rav will agree, though, that this person who made this kind of mistake, fine, Rav will say he doesn't bring his own individual korban because Rav holds that's not considered shav midiyaseh. However, Rav will agree that you do not count this person towards the roiv of the tzibur. Again, we were saying before, according to the Chachamim, which is the halacha, you have to have that most of the Jewish people follow this mistaken psak. This person who ate this chaylev mistakenly, thinking that it was shuman, fine. Rav is saying that he's potter from the korban. However, he does not count towards that majority. So if you have 600,000 Jews,
this guy doesn't count towards the majority.
Yes,
because it has to be that
the majority followed the actual shgaga based on what Beis Din said. In this case, this person had his own individual shogig over there, so therefore, fine, Rav will say it's not shav midiyaseh, but nevertheless, it's not the same kind of shogig as everybody else, so therefore, so again, you have 600,000 Jews. We said you need 300,001 have done it following Beis Din to be chayav the carbon. If you only have 299,999, and then this one person who did it like this, oh no, you have 300,000 rather, who did it based on Beis Din, and this one person who did it like this, No carbon of tzibur. All those 300,000 people will... Okay, so Rav will say this person is positive. He by himself won't bring his own carbon.
The whole race?
Yeah, well, unless there's another person, yeah. I mean, it's not him by himself, but he just doesn't count towards that race. If you have another person who makes up the race, then another person makes up the race. But he doesn't count towards that race.
Because it was
a different kind of shogeg. So therefore, what will happen is all those other 300,000 people will be bringing their own individual korbanos.
Right.
He won't, says Rav.
Because
it was a different kind of shogeg. Because there was no shav midiyaseh, because he wouldn't have done anything different if he knew that it was chaylev. But as far as he knew, Beis Din had said this chaylev is mutter.
Right.
However, there's no korban of the sibra. There's no power handle dollar shal sibra in that case.
Because it's less than the
rest. And according to Rabbi Yechanan, it's a moot point. According to Rabbi Yechanan, anyway, he's chayiv in his own individual carbon.
Right.
Next, the Mishnah said, Ben Sha'asu
Va'asu. The
halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan, yeah.
He would be chayiv,
right. This is Masechta Hori, yes? Come, take a Gemara. We're holding at the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, Ben Sha'asu Va'asu Imahan Kola. We said in the Mishnah, we're talking about this, so you have the case where Beis Din has passed in wrongly for the Jewish people, where therefore, once it turns out, based on the criteria that we're talking over here in the Gemara, once they realize their mistake, a korban is going to be brought collectively on behalf of the Jewish people. So it's called the Par Helam Dava Shal Tzibur. As opposed to, if the criteria are not met, then each individual person who followed this wrong path is going to be bringing their own individual korban chatos.
Why would they do that?
What? If there wasn't a majority or if it didn't fit the criteria or whatever. So people, let's say, people heard that Beis Din passed in this, they mistakenly started following it, but whatever, yeah, it didn't fit the criteria that we're talking about over here. So the Mishnah said,
so basically people can make a mistake.
So you can have the Sanhedrin can make a mistake and you can have the people make a mistake, right? Okay, so we said in the Mishnah three possible cases. We said, Bain Sha'asu Va'asu Iman Chola.
Everybody's making a mistake?
So, okay, you can have like this. You can have Beis Din made a mistake and passed in wrongly for the people, and most of the people followed that stack. Mm-hmm. You can have that Beis Din made a mistake and passed in wrongly, and a minority of the people followed the stack. And we were just talking about, you can have a case where they pass skin wrongly and a person made his own individual mistake that ends up feeding into it. He ends up in addition to their mistake. He makes his own individual mistake. Yeah.
If everybody's making a mistake, then what's the whole point of the Torah?
Eventually they realize their mistake. Eventually they bring the curse.
The causality of mistakes.
Okay.
Everybody could be making a mistake, then that's okay.
No, it's not okay. No. Eventually they have to realize that they're mistaken and they bring the curse.
In the beginning it was okay.
No, well, at the time, they didn't know. But now, what did they know? It's no different than when an individual person does an Aveda by mistake. Later on, they realize that they do Tshuva and they have to bring carbon. Okay. So the Mishnah said, Ben Sha'asa V'asa Ima. And Kola, we've had three cases. One is where Beistin followed their own wrong fact themselves. So they ate this chela, for example. And this person went along and did it exactly at the same time as them. Second case was they did it and he did it later on. Third case is they didn't do it at all, but he did it. So the question is, Lomalila Misne Kohani, why does the Mishnah have to mention all these three cases?
Right.
So Bishlem Reisha, I can understand in the first part of the Mishnah when it's describing the cases in which the Yachid is going to be potter from his own individual korban, we can say Loizu Afzu Katani. Each one is a bigger chiddush over the previous one. Not only if he did it at the same time as them, that's for sure called Torah Beisdin, for sure he obviously did it because of Beisdin's wrong psak, then he should be bothered. Even if he did it later on, we still say that's considered Torah Beisdin, and even if they didn't do it at all, but he did it.
So one second, afterwards include the case where Beisdin...
No, obviously they realized their mistake. We're not talking about that. We're talking about before they realized their mistake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Afterwards, but still the mistake is...
Yeah, the mistake is still in effect, yeah.
Right.
So yeah, okay. So the first part of... well, come stay with us. We're going to be in another 15 minutes.
Okay, I'll come back.
All right. Fine. So in the first part of the Mishnah, we can say that it's loizu afzu katani. We're saying each one is a greater chiddush than the previous one. If he did it at the same time as them, of course he's doing it because they did it.
Sure.
If he did it after them, it's more of a chiddush. Even then, we say it's still considered Torah Beisdin. And if they didn't do it at all, even then we say because they passed him
there. Never mind Rabbi Yochanan.
This is the Mishnah we're talking about.
Right.
This is the Mishnah. We're talking about no extra mistakes, no nothing. We're just talking about they passed in that chaylev is mutter. Either they passed in it and they passed in it at 10 o'clock on Sunday, and he sat down with them at 10 o'clock on Sunday and ate it, or he did it later on in the day on Sunday, or on Monday or whatever. Or they didn't eat it at all, but he himself went and ate it at some point.
They
didn't actually eat it, but he. So therefore, each one is a greater chiddush than the other. El sefer de lachiyuva, but in the second part of the Mishnah, we were talking about the cases where a person is chayav. For example, we said a case where a person knows that they made a mistake and he went and did it anyway. If chamad barilei, it should be the other way around. But each one is a lesser chiddush than the previous one. If he knows that they're mistaken and he ate with them and we're saying he's chayav, how much more so if he did it only after they did? And how much more so if they didn't do it at all?
They didn't do it.
Yeah.
And vice versa for the sefer.
Right. That's the question. Why isn't the sefer the other way around? Right. The answer is in the sefer, Zuvein Tzarech Lo Mezukasani. Fine. In the last part of the Mishnah, it's saying this and needless to say this. So you have sometimes, usually we try to assume that a Mishnah, as it goes on, gives more and more chiddushim. But sometimes you have that's kind of an anti-climax. It gives the greater chiddush first and then the lesser ones.
In the sefer, we're talking
in the
about
sefer, yeah. Because it's also for parallelism with the Reish. It follows the same order of things, but in chiddush, it's a lesser chiddush as each one is a lesser chiddush in the sefer where he's chayev than it is in the reisha where he's potter. Because in the sefer, we're saying if he did it at the same time with them and he's still chayev, how much more so if he did it after them? And how much more so if they themselves didn't do it at all and he did it, that he should be
chayev.
So in the sefer, that is in the sefer. So in the sefer, it's anticlimactic. We're saying the greater chiddush first and then the lesser chiddush. But okay, it's that way in the ratio of the Mishnah, and therefore for parallelism, it's kept the same word.
The same order.
So
the result is
right.
Reverse.
Yeah. Okay, the Mishnah said, V'yoda echad man shatoh etamud v'roi l'hara. We said that if one of the members of the Beis Din realized that they were mistaken, and he went and did it anyway, or he was a Talmud who's capable of giving rulings in halacha himself. So the question is, tauti lomali, why do we need both cases? Just say that a person who's capable of paskining knew, and then that's it. We understand whether he's a member of the Beis Din or not.
One
is a member of the Beis Din, one is not, but what's the practical difference? Either way, they're not totally the Beis Din. They're not doing it because Beis Din said so. They themselves know, are knowledgeable enough in halacha to know that Beis Din is wrong. So why does the Mishnah have to mention two cases? Yeah. The Rava says, yes, but it's needed as follows. Sakudai dechamina, because if it weren't for that, you would think when it mentions a Talmud, hanimili gomit, you would think when it mentions a Talmud, you would think hanimili gomir v'sovi. You would think it would have to be, when is he considered a Talmud, when is he considered of that caliber, is if he gomir, if he learnt the actual topics from his rebbeim, and sovi, and he has the ability to be maven dover and test dover, to draw analogies and derive new halachas, which is the meat and potatoes of the Gemara. So to speak, he knows the Mishnayos and the Gemara. Avo gomir v'loy sovir loy, but you would think maybe if he only knows the facts, the Mishnayos, but he doesn't yet know how to make svaras, you would think maybe not. That's why we need all the cases to say that even if he's gomir v'loy sovir, nevertheless he still would be chayav because he knows the facts. Amalei Abaya says lahirah gomir v'sovir mashma. What do you mean? The fact is, it says he's roy lahirah, implying he not only knows how to regurgitate the facts, he knows how to create hirah, how to deduce one thing from another and create a hirah. So it has to be both. Ela amalei. So Rava answers Abaya, ana hachikam. Yeah, but what I mean to say is like this: you're misunderstanding what I mean to say. If you only had the word yoda echad mehen, one of them knew that they were mistaken. Have I'm in a gomer v'savir? Then you would think that it only applies if he knows the fact and he knows the svaris. Avo gomer v'loy savir loy. But if he only knows the fact, but he doesn't know the maven dover mitos dover, he doesn't know the svara. Maybe not. Tana, so therefore, Rava continues, therefore, Tana lahira, Tana roi lahira, Mishnah yisera, therefore the Mishnah explicitly mentions the second case, where he's a Talmud roi lahira, and therefore Mishnah yisera, afila gomir v'lai sabir, sabir v'lai gomir, and therefore what we deduced from the Mishnah is that even if he knows the facts without the svara, so he knows the svara without the facts, that's not enough. In other words, by using just the opposite. You're thinking I meant that if he only has one and not the other, that's enough to be mechayev. No, Rava says. What I mean to say is the very fact that the Mishnah mentions both cases, one member of the Sanhedrin or a Talmud who's roi lahira, means to imply, you should understand, what kind of Talmud are we talking about who has both, who's both gomer and sovir, who knows the facts, he knows... That's what Rava is saying. That's what I mean also. They're not contradicting each other. In other words, Abaya is saying that the word lahira implies that he has both, gomer v'sovir, and Rava is saying exactly that. If you didn't have in our Mishnah both echad mehen and Talmud roi lahira, you could mistakenly think that a person who is gomer v'sovir or sovir v'loy gomer should be chayev in his own individual carbon. Therefore, by mentioning both cases, the echad mehen, a member of the Beis Din, or Talmud v'roi lahira, that meant to teach us, you should understand, what does Talmud v'roi lahira mean? It means only if he has both. Only then will be chayiv. Right. If he only has one and not the other, even if he knows, even he wouldn't be chayiv, his own individual COVID, because his yediyah doesn't count for anything. Yes, he knows. Fine, lots of people think they know.
But wait a minute. If you're saying that he's capable of giving a higher up, and therefore Abai says he's both, you have to imply that if he doesn't have both, he's not capable.
But that's Rava's point. We wouldn't realize that. That's why the Mishnah has to mention the unnecessary case of Oy Talmud v'Roy Lahira in order that we should realize that in order to be considered a Yedeya, such that you'll be chayev on your own individually. And then you're not called Torah Bevesdin, would have to be that you have both, Gomer and Sovir. If it weren't for that, if you only had Echad Mehen, you would think maybe it's enough Gomer without Sovir or Sovir without Gomer. By saying both cases, the Mishnah is clarifying for us, says Rava, that it means you need both. And that fits with what Abaya is saying, that the word Hara itself implies that you need both.
In other words, saying that if you gave Hara, you could understand it that he has both, or he has one of them only, and that's why the Mishnah.
If the Mishnah had only said that echad mehen, one of them, then you might think it means okay, one of them who knows Gemara but he doesn't know Svara, or he knows Svara but he doesn't know Gemara. By adding Talmud roi lahira, as Abaya said, hara implies that he knows both, so therefore it means that he has to have both.
Yeah. Why do we need the other two cases?
So that's it. So therefore, so by saying Talmud v'roi lai ra, that's meant to clarify for us what we mean by echad mehen, means that it has to be that you have both gomer and sabir. Okay, so now the question is, roi lai ra, call us a going man. So what's the case where you have a person who's a Talmud, but he's still capable of giving hara? What kind of scenario do you have of that? Omar Rav, you're in Shimon ben Azeh, the Shimon ben Zoma. For example, you have Shimon ben Azeh and Shimon ben Zoma. They were ru'uyin lahira. They were done in the Sne Chachamim, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. They sat before the Chachamim, and they were discussing, and they were fully capable of passing anywhere in the Torah. However, they never received smicha. That's why they're never called Reb. That's why they're never called Reb. The pashas because they passed away young. Or what do you have over there?
When did you get smicha at that time? That's some age, usually
40, usually 40, whatever. But we don't know. But we know Ben Zoma actually. What is it? Ben Zoma was one of the Abba Nichnas to the Paudis, and is he the one who died, or is he the one who went crazy? I can't remember. Anyway, whatever it is. So
at least they call him by the first name. He was in the dragon.
That's true. Yeah, usually we just call him by their last name. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
They must have high standards and all this.
The point being, that they were fully capable of deciding anything, anywhere in Torah, but they were still Talmidim. They hadn't yet received smicha.
Because they were too young?
Because whatever it was, whatever the exact reason was, because they were too young or whatever, but the point still remains that they didn't get smicha, and therefore they're Talmidim.
Is this a Gnai to mention them by name?
Okay. They have to be mentioned. Yeah, that's what it is, actually. Ben Azai died, Ben Zoma from the Abba Shani from the Paris. Ben Azai died, Ben Zoma went crazy. So, okay, yeah, whatever it is. So they never received smicha. Okay. Omalei Abaya, Kihai Gavna Mezenhu. If you're talking about people of the caliber of Ben Azai and Ben Zoma, you can't call them a shoyig. If they went and ate the Schelev or whatever, it's amazing. And they knew 100% for sure that it's wrong. Okay, so Rava answers, will he tie meich? Okay, but according to... Kai Gavna means this case, yeah.
What do you mean they were amazing?
If based in Paskin that a certain type of chelev is mutter, and somebody of Ben Azeh's caliber knows that they made a mistake, and he still thinks that he should go and eat it, he's amazing.
Why should he follow? Because he knows they made a mistake.
Because, again, he knows they made a mistake. Doesn't mean they have to eat the chelev. Exactly, doesn't mean he has to eat the chelev, yeah. Okay.
Fine, that's
clear. Yeah. So the Gemara answers back, will he tie meich? Okay. You according to your own svara, hard time. Rob it. What are you going to do with this that it says in a braisa? Ba'asoisa achas. So again, the pasuk says when a person does one of the averus, the word achas implies yachid oisim pi asmei chayev. If a yachid acts based on his own understanding, and he himself made a mistake, then he's chayav a korban. Bahiras based in potter. But if he does it based on the instruction of based in, then he's potter. Kesad, what would be an example? Horu based in shechelav mutter. If based in paskin that a certain type of chelav is mutter, v'noidel echa man shato, and one of them knows or finds out that they were mistaken. Oh no, that one of the members of the based in. Oi Talmud Yoshev Lefneim V'roi L'Hara K'goin Shimon Ben Azai, or Talmud who sits in front of them who is capable of giving Hara, for example, Shimon Ben Azai, Yachol Yehei Potter, you would think that he should be Potter, because based in Sedis Mutter, Talmud Lemabas, so it's the Achas, no, therefore the Pasuk says, when it does one, implying Yachid Oysal Fi Asmei Chayev, if he does it based on his own knowledge, he's Chayev, V'Hara is based in Potter, but if he does it based on Hara, based in his Potter. So the point is, Rava says to Abaya, Rava is saying, I was saying, for example, Shimon ben Azai and Shimon ben Zoma, you're arguing that if they act that way, they're amazed, the Braita clearly shows that they are shogig, because we're saying they're Chayev a Korban. Chayev a Korban implies that they were shogig.
Yeah, and they were because they followed the Basin.
They followed Basin, but it's fine. We're still saying that they didn't really follow Basin because they're Roy Lahira, because they themselves are capable of passing themselves and they knew that it's wrong. But the point is, the question, so you, Abaya, are arguing there should be mazid. No, so the Braita is saying they're chayav a korban, implying, therefore, that's considered shogig. Not like Abaya wants to say that it's mazid. Mazid, they wouldn't bring a korban. So what is the scenario? How do you have somebody of the caliber of Shimon ben Azai or whoever who knows the halachas but yet ends up doing it but is potter, right? You're going to yada de osur. Let's say he knows that it is osur. The case would be, it's not that he makes a mistake and he thinks that it really is mutter after all. He makes a mistake. He thinks because the chachamim said to do it, it's a mitzvah to listen to them, even to do an isur. That was his mistake. Well, then, Robert says.
That's hard to stretch out, because if he knows how to Paskin,
he knows how to Paskin.
Her a cooler, how can he think this way, that even though they made a mistake, it's still a mitzvah to follow them?
Okay, so as a matter of fact, actually, Tosfos actually has that question and says that it's hard to say that Shimon ben Azai would make such a mistake. So fine, not Shimon ben Azai then, but the point is, there can be a Talmud she'asa by Rav Beis Din. The Braita is just mentioning going Shimon ben Azai, but the point is, it doesn't have to be somebody like that. It could be somebody of a slightly lesser caliber.
Okay, lesser caliber, yes, but not Shimon ben Azai.
Right, that's the point. Tosfos makes that point, right?
Okay.
So then, Lididinami. So Rava says, according to me also, the Torah of Mitzvah L'Shmei, Devei Chachamim, when I say, for example, who is the Rava, Lididi means for myself, for my own state, Rava, when I myself said what's an example of the Talmud in our Mishnah is Shimon ben Azai or Shimon ben Zoyma, I would say, the Torah, Mitzvah L'Shmei, Devei Chachamim, that we're talking about, their mistake was that they thought you're obligated to follow whatever the Chachamim say, and that was their mistake.
And Rava would answer,
nevertheless, though, they're still high of their own individual korban, because, again, they were not totally the Beis Din. They made that mistake. They thought that Mitzvah L'Shmei Devei Chachamim. But they knew that the Chalev itself is actually also. They just thought, okay, you have
a...
There's two different types. Totally Beis Din means they thought this type of Chalev is actually Mutter. Here they thought it is Osir. Ordinarily,
they knew it's author.
However, they still thought. You have to accept the authority of Beis Din. That makes them high of their own individual carbon. That's not called Torah Beis Din. That was the point of our mission. Okay, that's a matter of time now. So we'll continue tomorrow. Best of
Hashem. Thank you.